Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hari Bom. It has a charm when not so many devotees are there. It's more personal, I think. It's very nice. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Yuga Kishore. Please sit with us.
She has the books and after the...
Who? Malati. Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful. After the classes. Hare Krishna Malati. Good morning. Hare Bo. Yesterday, really many devotees came and said they really... really enjoy this idea of seminars or retreats in New Vrindavan. I really suggest that maybe you have different retreats or seminars, and especially these weekend programs are very attractive for our congregation because they have free time in the weekend and they would like to spend it in a Krishna conscious way. So if you offer a program for them, I think that it will be very welcome. I really don't think we have to also always wait until people like me, that is foreign preachers, not Vrindavan, New Vrindavan inhabitant preachers come. I think if you have attractive subject matters, they might really like to join. And I've seen this in a project where I lived for many years. It was similar to New Vrindavan in that it was remote. I mean, it didn't have this wonderful temple room and the facilities. And we started to give seminars like the one which we had over the weekend. And obviously they thought, no, Maharaj, so I suggested give different seminars. You don't have to wait for a person like me or my much more exalted God brothers to come. And they said, no, Maharaj, people only come when they see famous names or great names. And I said, I don't think so. But of course you have to find attractive subjects, attractive programs. And then they tried things like yoga and Krishna consciousness. And we could see, because that was so new and so stimulating, devotees did attend. And I think we have here also yogis, a yoga couple. I think if you do that, you will also have life in the winter season in New Vrindavan, life in form of visitors. Good. I wanted to lecture today again about on a verse outside of the natural order. It's about taking shelter, which I think is important. Here it comes. Hari Bo, thank you. Hari Bo. This is impressive. So let us. I think it's an important subject, and I believe you will get a lot out of it. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Thank you, sir. Vielen Dank. Madhava Kunya Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Navallabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Nana Praja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radhe Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radhe Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Balladev Jaya Subhadra Jana Jaya Jagannath Jaya Balladev Jaya Subhadra Translation. What I should give you the context so that you can relish the verse better. Lord Krishna had promised Akrura that after killing Kamsa, he would visit Akrura's home. And this verse describes how Krishna came to Akrura. You can imagine Krishna stands before the open door of Akrura's home and Akrura stands there and recognizes Krishna as Rita Gira, one who is always true to his word. Krishna has said, I will come after doing my dharmic work. And Akura must have thought, the Lord has so much to do, why should he visit an insignificant living being like me? But then the Lord stood before his home, before his door, and he recognized him as one who's true to his word, and also as Kritagya, that's another Sanskrit word here, that is grateful to whatever little worship the devotee has offered to Krishna. So even if the devotee should forget that he has offered some worship, Krishna will not. He keeps a list. So, okay, here's the verse now. Akrura standing there at the door and offering this prayer. He asked, what learned person would approach anyone but you, O Krishna, for shelter? You are the affectionate, grateful, and truthful well-wisher of your devotees. So who would come to anyone else than you? To those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self, yet you never increase or diminish. So let us just focus on this. I see many of you are doing other things while the Bhagavatam class is going on. I think you must reason, well, there will be some benefit if I hear something, although I'm engaged with other things. But I think this verse demands your full attention, so maybe you would like to zero on in and onto this subject. The first, Akura speaks here about shelter. And I believe this is something which we all are very interested in. Where is my shelter? Shelter is something which protects you against a problem which otherwise you can't solve. I know I come from an island. It is between North Germany and Denmark. And there were sometimes these storms, and they were so intense that we children were warned, if you are out in the storm can pick you up and blow you from the cliff. There was something like a cliff into the ocean and you will drown. There were these heavy storms. There was a particular feature of the island where I grew on. When they came, they were like Hurricane Mary. Did you say Hurricane Mary? The different hurricanes. Ooh. And but then on the island there were these shelters. They were made of stones piled on each other, which were so heavy that the storms could not get them. And when the storm started raging, you needed to know where is one of these storm shelters in order to just survive the danger and not be lifted up from your little children feet and blown into the ocean. So this is the idea of shelter. They were called storm shelters, you know, these things. So Krishna is also an ashraya and shelter on which you can absolutely depend on. Ashraya or shelter in Sanskrit means to depend on, to join, or to connect with. If you connect with an ashraya, or to depend on an ashraya, or join an ashraya in your life, you can be safe from a danger which otherwise is unsolvable. So Akrura now asked this question, is there any more suitable shelter than you, O Krishna? And now reconditioned souls would say, yes, certainly there's share that my email, my computer, my relationships in this world. But Akrura, to convince us, gives now three reasons why he thinks Krishna is the most dependable shelter and therefore should not be given up or exchanged for other so-called shelters. His first reason is Krishna is the affectionate friend of his devotees. When a devotee offers service to Krishna, then Krishna always remembers this, that and never forgets it. You know, the example he's affectionate. The purport by Gopi Paranadana and Hridayananda Goswami, it goes like this. This verse describes both the Lord and his devotees as Surida, well-wishers. The Lord is the well-wisher of his devotee, and the devotee lovingly desires all happiness for the Lord. Even in this world, an excess of love may sometimes produce unnecessary solicitude. English is not my mother tongue. What means solicitude, please? No. Solicitude. It's a solicitation. What's that? Even in this world, an excess of love may sometimes produce unnecessary solicitude. Can you understand this sentence? I can't. Anyways, it's the Bhaktivedanta servants. For example, we often observe that a mother's loving concern for her adult child is not always justified by an actual danger to the child. A grown child may be wealthy, competent, and healthy, and yet the mother's loving concern continues. Similarly, a pure devotee always feels loving concern for the Lord Krishna, as exemplified by Mother Yashoda, who could only think of Krishna as her beautiful son. Acha. So here we hear that the Lord is a well-wisher to his devotees, and the devotee always wants to take care of the Lord also. This is the point here. So Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsala. He is always a well-wisher of his devotees. He is always affectionate to his devotees under all circumstances. And even if you have forgotten what you have once done for Krishna, Krishna will never forget. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu there is a verse. Jambavan, you know, had served Krishna in his previous incarnation as Ramachandra. But then when Krishna appeared as Krishna, he fought against the Lord for a jewel. The verse goes like this. Though Jambavan had offended Krishna, he had fought against him, the Lord remembered his services in the past during the time of Lord Rama. And therefore he married Jambavan's daughter and gave Jambavan great respect. Since a gentleman never forgets what little service is rendered to him, What then can be said of Krishna, who is the head jewel amongst all well-behaved persons? So Krishna somehow never forgets, this person did something for me. I'm reminded of Malati's office. You must beg permission from Malati to see her office, because there are so many pictures of Prabhupada and also pictures of herself with Prabhupada, where when she was rendering direct service, many first class pictures can be seen in that office. So I can imagine that Srila Prabhupada has this quality of being grateful for all the services which were rendered in the past. And I think this is a very, very comforting thought. Krishna always remembers what you have done, every single prayer and so on. And he behaves with you on that basis, not on the basis of the maybe still existing faults which are there. Maybe some of us have still some shadows. But Krishna sees that this Madhati now makes flower garlands for him. Am I right? Is it for him? For Gonita, yes, Gonita, also Krishna. And he will never forget that whatever flower garlands this devotee is making, that's called, he's affectionate and also grateful for services rendered in the past. And Krishna is, this is another quality of his, he is truthful. In other words, when he has made a promise, he will always keep it. And one promise which Krishna has given in the Gita is that he protects his devotees. He will always keep that. He will protect your spiritual life. Akrura felt, "You are so true to your word, Krishna. You have come to my home after killing Kamsa, just like you said. And you are so grateful for whatever little worship a devotee offers. And even if the devotee forgets that he once did something for you, Krishna, you just don't forget." So, another quality, why we should take shelter of Krishna is given by Akrura, no, not Akrura, Arjuna. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Arjuna gives four reasons why he thinks we should take shelter in Krishna and no one else. I remember, I think it's a very important discussion that, you know, without shelter, where are we? The storm of material life is raging. We are now for a short time in this human form of life, but we will be carried out of this human form of life. Who knows where? If we don't have any shelter, it is very dangerous. Here we have none to depend on in this unsafe material existence, and no one to connect. Where will we go emotionally? It's just too much to bear for anyone. Life always changes and always throws these changes on us. If we don't have something stable or someone stable whom we can depend on even at the time of death, then at least for me the life will become intolerable. So Arjuna now, he addresses this. He says the first reason why one should take shelter of Krishna is Krishna has unconditional mercy. This quality gives joy to our hearts as devotees. Krishna is not making conditions. He is unconditional in giving his mercy. In other words, Krishna may see that you are not 100% good always, and who can say this in this world, but he is unconditional, he accepts his devotees. And the second reason is similar to Akrura's reason, he always fulfills his promises. Na ma bhakta pranashati is a promise that my devotee will never perish. Arjuna's mother, Queen Kunti, highlighted this quality. She said, before the battle of Kurukshetra, which took so many lives, almost, you know, most of the soldiers were wiped away in the battle. But Krishna had promised at the beginning, there always will be five Pandavas. Kunti, there will always be five Pandavas. It's my promise. And Krishna had shown how he kept this promise by really protecting the Pandavas in many, many, many ways. I remember there was this one incident when Karna threw the Narayan Astra. It was a weapon which he had kept for Arjuna. This weapon was absolutely deadly. It was the weapon of God. No one could resist it. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you are sleeping. Please listen now. It's important for your spiritual life. So this weapon was released by Karna, and it was just so terrible. Everyone also understood it, that no one can do anything against the weapon. All the soldiers in the Battle of Kurukshetra knew this is Narayan's weapon, the Narayan Astra, and everyone threw himself on the ground, except for one person. He happened to be a Pandava. You can imagine who that is. Bhima said, I'm not bowing down to anyone's weapon. And Krishna saw the Narayan Astra was coming at Bhima, and Bhima would be killed because it's the weapon of God. Not even Bhima can do something against this weapon. Do you follow? So then Krishna remembered, I have given this promise that there will always be the five Pandavas. So he personally ran to Bhima and he jumped at Bhima and wrestled him on the ground. Because only those who would bow down would be saved from Narayan's wrath. Krishna kept this in mind. He didn't think this foolish Bhima. He doesn't bow down even before the weapon of God. Let him learn his lesson, you know. No, he knew. He kept his promise. I always protect my devotees. The next quality Arjuna mentions is Krishna should be taken shelter of because he's the most reliable friend and benefactor. You can rely on Krishna. He's standing up to his promise. And the fourth quality is he's the supreme Lord who's able to do anything. In other words, you know, when you want to take shelter at someone, you must be sure that he can give you shelter. Krishna is the only shelter, the only one who can offer shelter against the material energy. No one can give you shelter against the material energy. Only the Supreme Lord of the material energy can give you shelter. So this is Akrura's reason. Now you might ask yourself the question, okay Maharaj, your lecture is very boring and very impractical. I have not seen this shelter, that Krishna gives shelter like this. Like yesterday in our retreat, someone asked, but how does Krishna take care of his devotees? We have so many examples where devotees were not taken care of, shelter of. What to answer at that time? You must understand Krishna's shelter happens really only to those devotees who have faith in him. Akrura says, he has given himself to me, Krishna has given himself to me because I have complete faith in him. If you are not faithful, then Krishna will give you shelter. Krishna steps back and waits. Even in his most important form for us in Kali Yuga, I don't want to say important or most merciful form, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we are requested that when we approach him, we must have faith and devotion. And then Mahaprabhu's mercy works fully. We must give up this envy, matsaya, against the Lord. There's this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charita Shuna Shara Bhakti Kari Matsaya Chadiyamuke Balahari Hari. Please hear the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hear with faith and devotion. Give up envy of the Lord. And everyone, please chant the Lord's holy name. Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Wonderful. So this is really necessary. This faith. Oh yes, Krishna, you know what you are doing. It is in my best interest. And this end, giving up enviousness. Oh Krishna, I think I know better. Or Krishna, I don't trust you. These type of feelings need to be given up. So that we can really take shelter. That's required. That's important. It's necessary. This taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet is really something which needs to be considered very deeply. We need to make a plan in our lives, how we will give our lives to Krishna, how we will trust in his workings with faith and give up this ill-motivated feeling of resentment against Krishna's arrangement. Krishna brings his devotees to this. Now I have in mind a great devotee called Ramachandra Dev, who was a king of Puri and who took shelter at Lord Jagannath in such a beautiful way, even when no one around him understood him and thought something crazy about him. Ramachandra Dev, you must know, was at a time when the Moguls invaded India. He was reigning then, and the Moguls were very, very belligerent, and they wanted to invade the temple of Lord Jagannath. They had previously, to my knowledge, done this, that they had taken the deity of Jagannath and first placed him under the steps of the mosque so that everyone would walk over Jagannath, and then they had taken the Hindu god and burnt him in a public burning in Calcutta. And at that time there was one devotee who just couldn't tolerate the offense and who jumped into the fire. It was just so hurtful to him, and Lord Jagannath saved his body. He didn't burn. And when the body of Lord Jagannath was burned, that devotee took the heart of Jagannath, that some say it's a Shalagram Shila, and he took that heart of Lord Jagannath, and when he hid under the ashes, you know, and when everyone was gone, he took that heart of Lord Jagannath, brought it to Puri, and again Lord Jagannath rose, and a new body, a new deity was carved. So this is how the Muslims were. So Ramachandra Dev heard of plans of the Muslim army to again invade the temple of Jagannath. He was in a dilemma. He knew that the Muslims would not attack if the king of Puri would turn a Muslim. Because what the Muslims did is they conquered the vast areas of India, but they needed people to rule afterwards. So if the ruling class or anyone would turn into a Muslim and rule on their behalf, they would leave everything in peace. Do you understand this military tactic? Mm-hmm. Imagine someone would, let me say, would like a church to become a Muslim place. So if he could convince the bishop of the church to turn a Muslim, then that would go on. You know, then no need to attack the church. Let the Muslim rule there. So that was the quality. So Ramachandra Dev fought for many times against the Muslim army, but finally he was captured by Taki Khan. That was the Khan is a general, and he was kept prisoner for 13 long months. And then he thought, I can save my kingdom by one way. I've lost the military battle, but I can win the strategic battle. I just pretend that I'm becoming a Hindu. And he adopted the religion officially as Islam by marrying the daughter of Suja Khan, another general, and so on. Then Ramachandra Dev was freed from the Muslim invasion, and he was sent back to his kingdom. And now you should expect that everyone was grateful. By Ramachandra's so-called conversion, he had saved millions of lives. And he had saved also the temple from an invasion. But these Brahmanas, who were so much seeing only the outer shell of religion, you know, the behavior, the you know, these smarter brahmanas, left him. When he wanted to go inside the temple of Lord Jagannath, they forbade him. What do you think? Isn't that enough to make us boil? We should fast. It's so no breakfast for us. We are upset. You know, this is how we should feel. This is how the brahmanas were at that time. It's so upsetting. I will not eat this morning. At least this morning. Maybe I will eat something later. You know, it's such a you know. So. Then Ramachandra Dev came every night to Lord Jagannath's temple. The temple door was closed. He prayed. I can understand your brahmanas that they are like this. This is how religious people have always been. So that's all right. Let them be like they are. But I can't understand you. You know what is in my heart. You know that I have not given up your path. You know what is in my heart. Why do you allow this injustice to happen? He came for 3 nights lamenting before Lord Jagannath. On the morning of the fourth, the pujaris did their service, but they saw flowers and ornaments of Lord Jagannath were thrown all along the way to the gate. This happened another morning. They came to open the altar and they saw again a road of flowers. Imagine Radha Vrindavan Chandra would go to the gate, you know, their flowers would be all over, their ornaments, they would, because especially if they would run, you know. Imagine Krishna running with all these flowers, you would see his trace, you know, he would leave a trace. So, meanwhile, Ramachandra Dev every night had the darshan of Lord Jagannath, who came and heard his prayers, who had come, left the altar and stood before him and said, I'm here, I'm giving you darshan. Don't accuse me of being not a reliable friend of my devotees. I'm here, just see. And then Lord Jagannath said, my heart is softened by your prayers. I will be always in the gate of the Jagannath Puri temple, in the eastern gate. It's called the Singhadwara gate. And to this day, you find inside the gate a Patita Pavan Jagannath for the fallen souls. And I personally have seen this many times, stood many long hours before this Patit Pavan Jagannath, because he is more merciful than the Jagannath in the temple. He is for his devotees who are downtrodden, who feel wretched, who feel miserable. Because why did he come? Because Ramachandra Dev had faith in him. He had a type of angry faith, you know, angry, or I would say better, disappointed faith. Why, you know, the Brahmin servants, it's all right, they are what they are. But why are you like this? I can't understand. In Shastras it said, you are the most reliable friend. You know why I have so-called converted. I wanted to save your temple and your devotees. So, my dear devotees, This holds true to this day also. The devotees will not always understand you. They will sometimes criticize you and it will hurt very much. They will think bad of you. They will doubt your own attachment to Krishna. This will happen when they see that you act in a way they can't understand. That is natural for them. They are on their path. But Krishna is always there for you. He is your ashraya. You can depend on him. You can connect with him. Krishna will understand you even if you are not easy to be understood by others. That is our shelter. But we must approach him with this type of faith, with this type of belief, with this type of faith. Taking shelter in Krishna, that is necessary even in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is necessary. Don't think that you will find the same amount of shelter which Krishna can give anywhere else. This does not mean that you should become now a lonely hermit and not take shelter in Krishna's devotees. No. An integral part of taking shelter in Krishna is to take shelter with Krishna's devotees. It is Krishna will not accept anyone who goes just and says, Krishna, you are my only shelter and I don't care about your devotees. Krishna says this to Arjuna. He makes it very clear. He says, someone who says he's directly my devotee, he's not my devotee. Only he who says he's the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. That is something which we need to keep in mind as we look for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. We take shelter at this is his devotees. But I'm just wanting to say that sometimes even amongst devotees there is misunderstanding. Maybe you have seen this in your own life, then there is the shelter of Krishna who's always available for you and always there. There is a song. I won't try to sing it, so you are on the safe side. One great devotee has sung, "Oh my dear Lord, Chitragupta and the other secretaries of Yamaraj ride and ride and ride until their pens break when they list my sins." Imagine the pens are breaking in hell, you know. I cause them a lot of embarrassment, I know. But I know you are expert enough and most merciful. You can save me, the foremost of the fallen. This is where a devotee expresses his taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. I said that no one should think he can directly take shelter at Krishna and alone and ignore the devotees. And obviously I have one very, very special devotee in mind, my own exalted spiritual master. He once gave a lecture where he has, I only became aware of this lecture just very recently, just now I became aware of it, and when I was in New Mayapur. Prabhupada promises us, actually gives us a promise, that we can enter Krishna's family. He said, you enter into Krishna's family, the Vrindavan family, where Krishna has got his father, mother, his friends, his lover, his beloved, his cows, his garden, his Yamuna. You enter that family. Then you will not have to return back again to this temporary family, which will not stay. But if you enter Krishna's family, therefore Krishna comes. Krishna is so kind that you are so much fond of family life. Just here, see, I have got my family. I'm not impersonal. I've got my family. I have got my father. I've got my mother. I've got my friend. I have got my beloved Radharani and the gopis. Everything I have got. You can enter also. Why you are rotting here? That is Krishna's mission. So the Krishna consciousness movement means to practice in this life how to enter Krishna's family. I believe this could be well a motto for our project here, our New Vrindavan project. We should feel, as we are doing service here in New Vrindavan, we are preparing to enter the eternal Vrindavan, where Krishna has got his family, his father, mother, friend, his beloved Radharani, and so on. I think this is very motivating, and maybe you would like to read this wonderful lecture, or hear it even on your MP3 recording device, and become happy in Krishna consciousness. I will identify this lecture now for you. It's in the it is given in October 23, 1974, in Sridhar Mayapur, on the following Bhagavatam text, first canto, 8th chapter, text 43. You know, this how you can identify it in the Vedabase and on the computer. It's such a lecture where Prabhupada says Krishna is prepared to make you a friend. He comes and he says, please come, become my friend. Why are you denying? Make Krishna your friend. Make Krishna your son. Then you will never lament. So this means taking shelter. This means taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Please read this entire lecture. You will become so inspired, and you will see your service here in New Vrindavan is a preparation for the eternal world. I know when one is at a project like this, a big project with many departments and so on, it's not always easy, especially when not so many devotees visit. It's not always so easy. So you need to have a motivation in your life which keeps you afloat. You need to take shelter not in external things like there's always the bus and of the big town, the big city, you know, bright light, big cities, you know. No, there's the countryside and so on. I think a good motivation for new Vrindavan devotees is this Vrindavan motivation, going to Vrindavan. So kindly, in your free time, read this lecture to get solace and good inspiration in your life, and then it will be better for you. It will be better when you read this and understand the idea of shelter. This is my last opportunity to address you. I will have to do a lot of preparations for my other services. Today I will just write emails and articles and everything else. I want to thank you very much for kindly inviting me. I was very, very honored in your presence. It was wonderful this time. And yesterday I walked up to the palace and I looked on New Vrindavan, you know, from higher up, and I sat where the lotus pond is in the palace, and I felt very much here is a home, here is a place to take shelter in this material world. Krishna, I've discovered a bench which is just so good. You can see the palace from there. You can see the light when the night comes in Prabhupada's room. He's still there. You can feel like that. And then you go down and to where the lake is, and where you see the temple, and you feel, oh, it's a place from where you can take shelter and do something in the service of Krishna, to prepare yourself. Krishna, let me now look at the board. It's a little earlier. Let me see if you do. You have any question? I see Mother Sukavaha, my seminar coach. Yes, Sukavaha. Is Krishna, yeah.
Sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm after it or I have communication with Krishna. And it feels like sometimes I do have that direct communication.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes, like, there's this shadow over me, like, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be having that. You should just take the shelter of the devotees.
Oh.
Sometimes when you take shelter of the devotees, like you say, you're making a good decision.
Yeah. Wonderful. Have you understood Sukavaha's point? Should I repeat? Sukavaha says she's sometimes in a inner dilemma because on one hand it says take shelter of Krishna, and on the other hand it says no, if you take directly shelter at Krishna, Krishna doesn't want that. He says you must take shelter of the devotee and so on. So she's in a dilemma sometimes, and I think all of us older devotees know of this dilemma. How can I establish my relationship with Krishna? This question comes up, and I've seen that a lot. And I've seen that in my own spiritual life also. Then a little, maybe not too long ago, I think 2 years, 3 years ago, I mean, I always prayed to Krishna, because we say there are prayers and you should repeat the prayers of devotees. And I thought, this is how I take shelter with Krishna, through the devotees. I just pray their prayers, and then I'm hopefully accepted. That was how I solved this dilemma for a long time. I'm just following the lead of the devotees, and when I asked something of Krishna, I will not ask anything pertaining to my existence as it is, as I feel it now, a conditioned soul, but I will only ask, give me pure love, like the devotees do. That's how I thought I'd do that. Then something happened. You know, I'm giving these japa retreats, and I'm trying to tell people they should chant better. And I'm announcing that the holy name is Krishna, so you must make a relationship with the holy name. And again, this question is there, can I tell them to make a relationship? I mean, I have to tell them, no? If they don't make a relationship to the name, how will they chant? It won't work, you know. So that means they make a relationship with Krishna. So again, this conflict is there. And then always there is this cloud when you say make a relationship with Krishna. Maybe everyone thinks you are Sahajiya. You know, I was really there. Then I'm reading in Harinam Chintamani. That's the guidebook for chanting delivered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That if you don't make a relationship to Krishna while you chant, you have only the shadow name. You don't have the real name. And then he teaches us what that means. You should think in three steps. I'm a small, insignificant soul, spiritual soul. And I'm a servant. And then the second step is, you must think Krishna is my infinite master. And you must understand, thirdly, that this world is only here to teach me that I should make my relationship with Krishna. And then I felt, well, now I'm also following a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says I should make a relationship with Krishna in that initial phase, Sukhavaha, as a servant. Not thinking I'm now like already a manjari, you know, or anything which has with us. I just have a servant in a general way, you know, that we are servants. And since I'm doing this, my whole life is, I know I can turn to Krishna. I can turn to him as a servant and say, my Lord, no one understands me. Can you understand me? Can you protect me? Can you take care of my case? You know I'm a little bad, but can you still accept me, please? And I feel happy in that. So following the devotee. I think that's important. Following the devotee, taking shelter. I really, you know, I heard this one lecture of a devotee who was just before dying. It's a Mataji, wife of four children, and she said something so beautiful. She said, Prabhupada, she made a case how everything she does is under the care of a devotee, Srila Prabhupada. He said, when I wake up, you are there. I'm chanting your prayers to you. When I'm reading anything, you are there. When I'm offering my food, you are there. I offer it to you and to Krishna. And she described how through her life, all this, her day, you know, when I educate my children, I think of the guidelines which you have given. You know, she's a Prabhupada disciple. And she said, she so beautifully explained how her whole life was informed by the presence of a pure devotee, Prabhupada. And look at your life, Sukhavaha. I mean, Prabhupada is all around you, left, right, back, forth, up and down, because this is how you live. You have been brought up by him and by his teachings. So when you turn to Krishna, Prabhupada will be there. He taught you to do this. And you will turn to whatever you do in your spiritual life, you do it with Prabhupada, because you can't do it in any other way, because your words have been given, your thoughts have been given, you have been trained by him. You know, because we grew up, we heard all these lectures in which we believe. We heard quotations from Srila Prabhupada in which we believe. He is really informing our life somehow. And he is still there, like you know, when you enter the temple room, everything is here. The way the paintings, the way he taught us, the deity worship, the way he instructed us, the everything, you know, is all pervading, you know. It's so all pervading that we don't even notice him any longer sometimes. But he is there. So you are not doing things independently. That's the idea when you turn to Krishna, because this is how you are trained by him. I remember one last thing, and then I close, and then Jai Krishna has an announcement to make. There will be a lecture this evening, a surprise lecture, and he will talk about that. I remember I once was on a Vrindavan yatra with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and the devotees around him. And then Maharaj always asks his god brothers to also speak a little. And then there was Jagatarini was speaking. And she remembered something so beautiful on Ashraya, which I want to share with you. As you know, there were many difficulties to build the temple in Vrindavan, because the bricks were always stolen by the Brijbasis, who also wanted to make their huts and their temples and, you know, cultural. And they thought these Americans have enough money, you know. So it was difficult to build the temple. And there were, you know, the devotees didn't know the Indian ways, and it was not easy. And then Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram. And then Prabhupada, a day after the installation, told the devotees, Jagatarini was there, "Oh, now Krishna Balaram are there. When you have some difficulties, you go to Krishna Balaram and say, we have such and such difficulties, and they will take care." He felt relief. Now the problem is over. There is the Lord is there on the altar. Let the devotees directly go to him, and he will take care of their concerns. And I thought, that was just so beautiful. I hope I can. I have written it down in my notebook. When I heard it, I mean it might take. Let me just try. Maybe I. It's not so easy to read even one's own handwriting when one writes fast. And no, I don't think I would find it here. But I really remember it went like that. But I always like to quote Prabhupada literally. I think it's important. Here. No. It would be so nice to find it. No, it can't be here. It was like this, you know. I'm not just good. Now I request Jai Krishna to just make his announcement. I thank you very, very much. All the best for you and your spiritual life. And I can only say thank you very much for keeping this project alive by your service. It's a wonderful project. And when I look at the project, I see one word: opportunity. For the individual case, for individual spiritual life, and opportunity for preaching also. Thank you. Hare Krishna.